This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 234 for Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me tonight, Brockett Vola. Welcome, sir.
Hey, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. It's been a couple weeks now, I guess, but I haven't talked to you since.
That's correct.
Yes. No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm wishing you a happy birthday on the show.
It was good. It was relaxing.
That's good.
And you had a birthday recently, too.
Yeah, I did back in, actually it was a couple of days after my last episode. Yeah, so yeah. we're the birthday boys of spring. That's the song, right?
Yep.
Who cares?
Not that I subscribe to this sort of thing, but Taurus, is that where you land?
Correct, yep.
Okay, cool.
What are you, a Cancer?
No, Taurus, same.
Oh, you're Taurus, okay.
Yeah. Very end of April in Taurus, yeah. People ask me that, and I say, like, sure, Taurus. And, like, I've had some people say, like, huh, interesting. I was like, why is that interesting?
No, it's just people, like, it's, I don't know. It's the same thing when people react to just whatever. Some people subscribe to certain things. I subscribe to the dick or no dick. You're a jerk or you're not a jerk sort of mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think it has anything to do with what star you were born under. The thing that I find more interesting as of late is, speaking of birthdays and getting older and people getting the hell off my lawn. You'll notice as you age that you have less patience for some things. And it's not like this was an instant that kind of brought forth my lack of patience, but it was one of these kind of like eye-opening situations of the vast difference between the parents that I know and the parents that I don't know. So many of my friends have got kids, and the kids are now in the realm, a lot of the kids are now in the realm of, like, you know, 8 to 12. So they're like preteen, kind of, they're young, not young adults, but they're little people. They have their own tastes, their own manners. They have, you know, they have they have their own thing. I also have a part-time job that puts me out in the public, so I see other people's kids of the same kind of ilk.
People.
And I've had an experience lately where these kids that I saw, they were a walking cartoon strip. Like, pants around their ankles, talking to them was like talking to a doorknob. Like, they had the vocabulary. Like, I mean, they were a walking stereotype. It was hilarious. Like, it wasn't something that rubbed me the wrong way. It was just like, this is kind of nuts. And throughout the conversation, I found out that they were, like, you know, 13 or something like that. And I thought, okay, wait a minute, back that up. I've hung out with friends' kids that are like 12, and I've had more adult conversations with them than I've had with some 20-year-olds I know. You know? And so I'm looking at these kids thinking, like, what have your parents done that you end up like this, and the other kids that I know end up like that, which is wonderful. It's so interesting to see. And it's not like, I mean, like, I know my friends are good parents, but I don't look at them and go, wow, they go like 200 miles past where most parents would ever go to raise their kids. Like, no, they're just normal parents. They just do normal things. They get mad at their kids when they do bad things, and they, you know, discipline them, and they do all the normal parenting stuff. So it just kind of makes you wonder, like, how little is happening in some of these other households, you know? And as far as just, like, even just encouraging people to, like, you know, pay attention in class and things, like, you know, being able to speak like a human. It's so funny. So
speak
funny.
Like humans.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, I, here like I am. I mean, I'm a little tired tonight, so I shouldn't begrudge anybody for speaking like a human, because I'm sure I'm going to flub up my words at some point tonight. So what have you been up to over the last few weeks?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, honest to God, when I was getting into this episode, behind the screens, folks, Brock had struggled for something to talk about. I have finished a couple things since last I've talked. Like, I finished 13 Reasons Why. We've started to rewatch Happy Endings on Hulu. Basically, it's a mishmash of some games I've been able to finish or I'm trying to finish. Video games. Doing some more writing. Like, basically, don't tell anybody at my work, but sometimes at work, I've just been running searches, and then in the background, like on Google Docs, just been writing chapters for something I've been trying to work on for a very long time.
Nice.
And so that's felt great, but when I think about it, it's like I almost brought the topic to the show of like, let's clean up Brockett's to-do list. Like, I was just gonna ask you, like, all the things I've left unfinished: books, movies, games, TV shows, and like, what should I actually try and accomplish as we head into the summer months? But Wednesday nights are actually, other than recording Citadel Cafe, I'm now going to be playing kickball every Wednesday night. My wife's actually out playing kickball. I have duties here at the cafe. The barista chief here is brutal. And so anyway, so I'm missing it, but tonight would have been our first game because last game got rained out. It was funny. But I don't know. It's just a whole bunch of mishmash of applesauce stuff. Low energy, high energy. On the train here, I had no energy. I peaked a bit when I had cereal for dinner like 25 minutes ago.
Sugar high.
But now it's like I've gotten into the show. I'm settling into trying to keep my show voice contained, which means that my energy is just sort of like mum again. So I don't know, sort of hummingbird attention span.
Well, I've had,
but not the energy.
Well, and this thing, I've had the same sort of experience because we've been hard at work trying to push out Piper's book, and not a crisis. Everything is fine, but there was a couple of things where like, oh, that didn't go as planned. We have to adjust. But we're talking about adjusting big business decisions that affect both me, my company, and Piper, having to talk to her, having to talk to, you know, Dave and some people that I trust and kind of figure out what I need to do. My expectations were high on the project. So, I mean, it's also a little bit of disappointment where, like, you want to do all these wonderful things, you know, for Piper, but then you can't. It's one of those things where it's been a frustrating, you know, couple of weeks. And my to-do list is the same. I seem to cross one thing off and then add three. Now, they're not all work-related, but, like, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I've got to renew my passport. I've got to get new photos taken. Thankfully, this is going to be the last time I'll have to do it for a while because Canada now allows you to get a 10-year passport. I'm not sure if that's something that you can do in the States.
Probably not.
But, yeah.
I think ours are passports are only for, like, 4 days, and then they just deport you. I think that's what happens.
Yeah. No, well, here we do 10-year. Coming back to something I really did want to mention, a big change for me lately, which has been fun but weird, is that I've had a large beard for 8 months. I haven't shaved since probably October. Up until yesterday.
Bushy beard.
Yeah, exactly. At which point I shaved it all off. And I haven't been, like, clean shaven. It has to be 10 plus years.
Wow.
So I think I might sport it for a little bit just for something different. It's weird. I keep on going to wipe my, like, I'm eating a hamburger for dinner and I keep on going to wipe my face out of habit, saying, all right, I'm sure there's all kinds of things happening right now that shouldn't. And I go to wipe hamburger or mustard out of my beard that's not there. just out of self-conscious, you know, effort over the last little while. So that's a little bit strange. And I sent a picture to a friend and they're just like, what? You look so different. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine. And the joke that I made was there's a clip of Ian McKellen talking about his prosthetic makeup and beard for Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. And because they put so much beard on him, they also gave him a prosthetic nose because he really looked kind of funny with all this beard. And he had like, you know, a normal sized
nose. Exactly.
So they gave him this great big schnoz. And I guess at some point he had to take the beard off. They were taking makeup off, and he had to go somewhere on set, but they didn't take the prosthetic nose off. So then, of course, it looked like he had this giant nose. And that's how I felt for the first day after I shaved my beard, is because it really does change the shape of your face, and it sticks out so much. And I don't have a big nose, but my prosthetic nose. I felt like I had a beak for like the first 6 or 8 hours. You walk by the mirror and you're just like, what? Oh, right. I shaved. Right. Okay.
You walk by the mirror and you can see your nose coming a mile away. You're like, Jesus, is that long?
What's going on? Right? And the other thing that's a little bit strange and better is my workouts are better because, of course, it's starting to warm up and going for my afternoon jog is not nearly as pleasant when I've got a giant scarf that I can't take off when it starts to get warm out. So not having a beard on my workouts has been wonderful because
you're more aerodynamic.
Yeah, exactly.
You can feel the wind just whoosh right up your face.
Yeah, I'm a lot faster. No, I'm not a small guy. Fast is not in my vocabulary.
Yeah, your big, long, pointy nose is very nice for wind, for cutting straight through.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to keep the Lord of the Rings jokes going, I'm like a dwarf, a very dangerous over short distances. Like that's basically like if I catch you in 100 yards, you're done. If you're still out there. Godspeed. See you later. Stay off my lawn.
See you later.
So, that's like, so when, if I ever have a big lawn, 100 meters is the max, because after that, you're on your own. It's fine.
You're out of there.
Yeah. But I'm like you. Like, I've got a bunch of things that I've been watching, but I've not finished anything because I keep on getting pulled away into other things. And a lot of it is content creation, which I can't really, you can't say that's bad. Right? Like, you can't say, I really am not luffing around and watching enough Netflix because I'm too busy writing a novel, you know, or writing a play, or, you know, for me, drawing or doing other creative content, you know, like trying to come up with some video content or, you know, working on books and things like that. And it's hard to kind of balance. I mean, even just going out and having a social life, I went for a drink on Sunday night. Like, you know, having the time to do that is nice, but at the same time, you're just like, I have to kind of fit that stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, like to kind of, I meant to mention this a while ago, and I know I've been bouncing around on Minecraft here and there. So I'm still playing it. I'm still doing some stuff in Minecraft. But one of the things that I've been watching, because I tend to watch, you know, a little bit of TV when I'm eating breakfast and maybe eating dinner, and that is YouTube. And I've been watching a guy named Ollie, and I honestly don't remember his last name, but he goes by Mumbo Jumbo. He's way more well-known by Mumbo Jumbo on YouTube. He's a professional YouTuber. He's got 1.5 million subscribers.
Sounds a guy.
Yeah, but well-deserved. Like, this is the thing. I started watching him after he was recommended by a friend, and is because I was new to Minecraft, and I was asking about all this stuff, and some of the things that Mumbo Jumbo does is tutorials. So I watched some of his tutorials, but then I noticed that he has a Let's Play series. And that's basically just him making videos about playing Minecraft, having fun with his friends, and just he kind of cuts them together into little 15 to 20 minute segments and then puts them up on YouTube like a weekly television show, except for he does it like maybe twice or three times a week.
Ooh.
And I have been enjoying the hell out of them. They are extraordinarily entertaining. I'm watching the back catalog. So I'm currently watching Hermitcraft Let's Play Series 4. I believe they're on Series 5 now. So when they say series, they treat it like a television series.
And yeah.
Hermitcraft is a server. And every year, I think, they reset the server and they erase the world and they start all over again from scratch. During the year, they all, you know, all the different Hermitcraft YouTubers and everybody that's on this server is all YouTube creators. So you've got these really talented people that are more than likely, if not full-time YouTubers, they're certainly financially supported enough that they can call it a part-time job and justify spending a lot of time, you know, playing Minecraft and recording videos. So they make like crazy, crazy cool things. It's very, very entertaining. They all have really good senses of humor. Mumbo is British, so he's pretty dry. Like in a good way, like in his sense of humor and what he finds entertaining is the same kind of things that I find funny. But I've been watching a whole ton of his videos. And when I was watching the back catalog, of course, you go back like 3 or 5 years to like, you know, early Let's Play series. And right away you realize when he mentions it in one of his videos that he's like 18 or 19 years old. And you're like, what? Like, he's well-spoken. He doesn't swear every 5 minutes. Like, I mean, he understood, I think, that he had like a young audience. So he wanted to just kind of keep it family friendly and whatnot. And all the power to him, because obviously it worked, and he's got a ton of followers. But what impressed me most was just, like, the professionalism and his, how well-spoken he is about what he does, considering, forgive me, Mumbo, how young you are. Because, I mean, I've got 15 years on him, so, like, I think I can say that. But, like, I struggle to make content that good, you know, and I've been at this for a while. And I thought it was just, it's so combined with, like, the fact that, yes, it's about Minecraft, something that I'm very interested in and having a lot of fun with, but also that they're just really easy to digest, fun, professional little videos that he puts out. And all the power to him. Like, it's such a cool thing to check out. And if you're at all into, like, video or vlogs or things like that, go to Mumbo Jumbo on YouTube, but then also look up his second channel. Now, I haven't watched a lot, but he's got the second channel where he talks about, like, he goes on vacation to Portugal, or he goes to Australia, or he's got a new drone. So he's very into photography and video, and so he puts all that stuff on a second channel, so that one channel, Mumbo Jumbo, is all Minecraft stuff. So video game stuff. And then the other channel is all of his vlogs and videos and just other things. I mean, like, it's really, really cool content. And it really kind of hammers home what's possible when you have the technology that we have available to us now. You know, like, the speed that the internet is in most places, the tech and tech gadgets for home consumers that you can get. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not cheap, but, like, having a drone that does HD video or 4K video is, in the right hands, really cool. Like, you can do some really cool stuff. You know, like, I think, I don't remember whether you were on this episode or not, but there was a Superman video where somebody shot a bunch of flights and stuff with a drone in a city, and then they kind of used After Effects to put, like, Superman's fist in the shot, so it looked, and they sped up the drone, the footage, so it looked like Superman was zipping around.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
yeah, it was really neat. It's on one of the Citadel Cafe episodes. I think if you do Superman as a search on thecitadelcafe.com, you should at least find
it. Every episode. Well, Superman needs to be mentioned every time. Actually, we love Superman.
I've done that before, and it's not surprising that almost all of the episodes where Superman is mentioned and tagged, it's episodes where you and I have been on. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Anyway, so that's really what I've been doing. And I'm actually trying to create, speaking of content creation, I'm trying to create some Twitch content myself. So doing some live stream Minecraft. I now have the hardware to do it. And this is going to be hardware that I'm going to be using across all kinds of things in my life. It's going to make my work so much easier. Yeah. But at twitch.tv/JoelDuggan, it's my Twitch channel, I did a live stream last night of some building in Minecraft. Now, I hadn't planned on anything. I was just working on a thing that I had already started. It was like midway through the build. I only had one person in the chat room, so I really wasn't talking very much because there wasn't like a big conversation going. I just had the game audio on and I was just kind of doing my thing. It got more interesting closer to the end. I streamed for about an hour, but for the last 15 minutes or so, it was actually Growly Bear, who's usually in our chat room. He was on, and he had a minute, and he wanted to see what I'd been building. He'd only ever seen photos, like screen caps. So I took him on like a little mini world tour, and that was really fun. Like, I really enjoyed doing that. So I'm looking forward to doing some more stuff like that. I have to practice a little bit, because playing Minecraft on your own is very different than trying to play Minecraft and communicate stuff to other people, because... For one, like, one thing that I noticed when I went to go watch back the footage to see, how does that look? The video quality is not great, because I think I had my broadcast settings incorrect. The audio is okay, surprisingly, because I wasn't on the podcasting mic. I was on my Apple headset, just like a earbuds thing. Just the same white set that, like, everybody has. And so it was clear. It was fine. I couldn't talk very loud because, of course, the microphone is, like, right next to you. So I sound funny because I'm not projecting. I'm just kind of like speaking very softly, as if we're kind of having coffee at a cafe, you know?
Yeah.
So it sounds a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah. No, no vinyl cafe, no CBC radio. What's the
after
one?
After hours
stuff.
The cafe.
Yeah. Nothing like that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I also noticed that when I was doing the showcase and showing things around, I was moving the mouse around a lot when I was pointing at things. And when you're playing, doesn't faze you at all. when you're watching it back, I was like, oh God, I think I might be getting a little bit carsick. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So when I'm doing that kind of stuff, you have to kind of slow down a little bit when you're pointing at things and moving around. So it's just things to kind of mentally learn about the differences in between playing by yourself and whatnot. But it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing more of that, because basically, like, I sit down and play Minecraft every other night for a little bit before I call it a day, just as a way to relax. And there's nothing to just turning on the stream and hanging out with some people and doing it. So I'm going to try to make that a more regular thing, which I think will be a lot of fun. I'm trying to sort out the technical issues. So I have a request for anybody out there that's listening. If you are a gamer and a game streamer, particularly on OBS, Open Broadcast Software, shoot me a message on Twitter and let me know what the ideal settings are for streaming to Twitch from Minecraft. I've got the basics, but it's things like bitrate and scaling and other stuff like that that I feel like I need to improve on. The audio quality is easy. That's just using a proper microphone. And I was talking to a friend that looked and listened to the video, she said that my adjustments for turning the game volume down and leaving my volume a little bit louder, the balance there was correct. So that's good. You know, that means that the game isn't too loud, but neither am I. So that I'm happy with. It's more or less how to make the picture quality look better. So I'm hoping to kind of solve that next little while. But really, like, that's it. That's all I've been up to in terms of, you know, between work, a little mumbo jumbo on YouTube, and playing and fiddling around with stream settings and trying to set that up has been eating up some of my free time at night. I think we've talked about this. Do you play Minecraft, or have you ever played Minecraft?
No, I hate Minecraft. Okay. I disliked my time with it, but it was also I don't know. It was, as I've said, a very controversial biggest fan back in the day, because
Kyle and Kristen play, or they used to.
Well, yeah, Kyle liked it. Wasn't in love with it though. I mean, nowhere near the level of like his StarCraft.
No, of course, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But he did like it. I just remember our audience at the time did not like that I didn't like it, and that was one of the most. We didn't have a lot of responses to anything, good or bad, but this was definitely a negative response to my reaction to it. So, I have tried to keep my opinion on Minecraft to myself. The only one I think I would ever play is that one that was with like the voices and the storyline with like Patton Oswalt or whatever.
Right, because there's an adventure mode now where it's got like a, you know, a story to follow, and you have to go fight the dragon and save the world and all that kind of stuff. And that's funny, because that's exactly what I don't like about most video games online. Well, I shouldn't say that. Most online games, it's competitive. Like it's PvP, and everybody and their dog has got more time to better their skills than I do. So I always feel behind. I have fun with new games for a little bit with friends, and then all of a sudden they all surpass me. And I'm either playing against them and getting owned, or I'm playing with them and I feel like I'm a heel and I'm holding back the team. So I much prefer games like Minecraft, where it's like I can really kind of kick back and play at whatever pace I want, which is nice. And it's as my friend Steven, who actually I blame for getting me into Minecraft, as he pointed out, it's a lot cheaper than Lego. Like, it was a one-time purchase, $35, and that was it. You know, the last Lego set that I bought was like $75.
Oh gosh,
yeah. So I mean, it's that kind of stuff is you know, something to consider, you know, for me with those kind of things I like. And that's the other thing. Before I move on, streaming Lego on Twitch is also something I'm going to be doing more of. Not going to happen as often, because obviously it's expensive to pick up those kits. But again, with the new hardware, with hopefully, I don't think it was my camera. I looked up my camera, and it's actually a decent webcam. And I think it was my old computer that was the bottleneck of my frame rate and my quality. So I think with the new system, I should be able to get a very good picture, which means that I should be able to stream Lego. And with good picture quality, then it's going to be a lot easier to see like the finer details of what I'm doing when I'm building a Lego ship. Right now, the next one is going to be the Y-Wing from the Star Wars Lego set.
Oh, yeah, you're just going to get the whole battalion, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm limiting myself to ships. Because if I start building a Lego city, then the completionist in me is going to bankrupt me. I also have nowhere to put them. that looks decent. But ships, you can put ships and walkers and things on shelves, and they actually look pretty cool. And that's the thing I like about them is that I'll put them up. Like, they don't go back in a box. And they don't sit in my studio where I never look up. Like, they're out on my bookshelves in my living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was really fun. I really enjoyed streaming those, and I had quite a few people show up, and quite a few people really enjoy watching me build Lego.
Lego is great. Yeah. It's relaxing.
Now, I can't say that I've not watched anybody build live, but I've certainly watched Lego review videos on YouTube. And I found those entertaining. So I can understand why somebody would pop by on Twitch and watch some Lego.
Watch them. You know, the Death Star is technically a vehicle. So enjoy getting yourself that sweet $200 sweet, sweet Lego set.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beast.
I live in Canada, buddy. More like $400.
400 sweet bucks.
Yeah. And it's funny, my dad had mentioned that. He sent me a pic of it when he was down in Florida. He was like, I know you've been building some Lego. I was like, check this out. And he sent me the photo of it because he had seen it on The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then I kind of had a conversation with him and kind of like slowly kind of inched in there that not my favorite Lego build because not that he ever would, but on the off chance that he just decided, you know, to somehow buy that for me as a birthday gift because it was around my birthday. I don't like the set at all. I think the Death Star looks really kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I would much prefer like a cruiser, you know, like one of the triangle cruisers, whether it's a Republic cruiser or, you know, one of the old Star Destroyers, like those things are the things that look badass when they're all together. But I like the walkers too. I wouldn't mind having an AT-AT. That would be kind of pie in the sky. So
yeah,
that, and I like the Millennium Falcon. I like the build that they've got going on right now for the Millennium Falcon. It's pretty cool.
But I'm sure that one's super pop.
Yeah. So what have you been up to? You watching anything?
Yeah, pretty much just finished Master and None Season 2 on Netflix.
This is the third time this has been mentioned to me in like 2 weeks.
Oh, it just came out. So it came out last Friday. This Friday is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and then the following Friday, the last Friday in May, I believe, is House of Cards.
House of Cards coming back right on.
Yeah, so this is a big, well, House of Cards is almost like a month and a half late. I think the third season came out around Valentine's. I think it was like a February type of release schedule, and then I think, you know, eventually the popularity of the series, the writing, the acting, all that sort of stuff kind of kept bumping it. So Master and None feels a little bit longer. I think that one was also almost over a year since the second season came out, because that's the thing, once you binge these series you kind of forget when sometimes forget about them, and B, forget when they originally came out. So when you're like, wow, was there ever going to be a second season, you look it up and you're like, wow, it's only been like 6 months, so probably they're not going to put another one out because these, you know, whatever, they have production schedules. But that's the thing with binging television, you're done with it in a weekend, or at least you are if you're Laura and I. And so anyway, they're just pretty much just 10 episodes, each one's around, I think they're about 30
or so.
Hard 30, since there's no commercials and they don't have to put any space in for that. And it's Aziz Ansari, who I only really knew because of Parks and Rec, and started to like him okay in Parks and Rec. He's not one of my favorite characters on that series because I don't really like the style of character he is, which is all about clothes and style and being really cool and stuff like that. But he basically is kind of playing a probably highly fictionalized version of himself, as most of these comedians who get their own television shows do, like Louis C.K. and what's the new one that just came out? There's just a whole bunch of these, you know, Mark Maron's one, and then all these different. So he's not playing Aziz Ansari, he's playing Dev Patel, Dev Shah. Jeez. But anyway, basically he's an Indian American actor who's just trying to make it. And so a lot of his foodie, because Aziz Ansari is a huge foodie, is brought into the show a little bit. In his, like, he's always commenting on food, and they're always showing him in different like trendy locations and that sort of stuff. Right. And the first season was a good mixed bag of some social commentary. There's a really great episode about how Indians, true Indians from India, have been portrayed in film, you know, like pop culture and that sort of stuff, which was a really great, funny episode. And there's been some other stuff in season one is, but it, the whole thing is sort of him coming to terms with being an actor, what he's going to do, his sort of Indian heritage, some of his foodie aspects. And then another big part of the series, which is very, very heavy in season two, is more sort of like his search for sort of the one. I mean, like it's it, in the first season, it's played more as like a, like, you know, he's just sort of seeing what's out there and testing the social dating networks and that sort of stuff. But in season two, it's a little bit more focused. And it's much more, season two, I would say, is funny, but it's more funny in a, not, I don't want to call it like an indie film type of way, but it's more dry humor, more slice of life humor. There are still some message episodes, not message in a capital M, but you know, there's a few like social comedy episodes, mm-hmm. but overall it was pretty good. I think this is a show that definitely I watch all of because it's all there at sometimes. Like there are TV shows right now where like, unless you dump all of it on me and you're shorter than like 13 episodes, then I'm probably not going to keep up with you or finish you. But since this is all dumped and we're sort of in between things, that's how we consume it. So I actually was looking forward to it, was waiting around for it to come back. We watched it. It was good. And honestly, I'm kind of, I really liked Aziz Ansari on this show. It brings out parts of his personality, but he also has moments of just like what you would assume like he his true reactions are to certain things, you know, in the same way that people love, you know, the Louis C.K. show because it's Louis because it's him in sort of hyper fictionalized scenarios, but you still get to see how he reacts to stuff. So it's good. It's definitely sort of a romantic bummer. A bit. So if you're you don't want screwball comedy like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt that's coming out at the end of this month,
right.
Sorry, at the end of this week, Master of None is definitely more on the other side of things. Master of None feels more like an HBO comedy than it feels like an NBC comedy, which is exactly pretty much what Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I give it a thumbs up. I don't recommend it if you're looking for something that you really want to take your mind off of something. It's fine. It's not a great one to throw on in the background simply because it's too quiet. I think if you throw it on the background, you won't pay attention to it at all.
At all, yeah. It's my I struggle to find a comedy that I really like to the point where I actually don't remember the last one. I think Community is the one I've mentioned on this show, but the last comedy that I watched on Netflix, gosh, I don't even know. I'm even maybe getting mixed up with like some funny moments and maybe a drama, you know, like the last time I remember laughing at Netflix was when I was rewatching Downton Abbey, like last Christmas.
Oh goodness!
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, I mean, like,
does that have jokes in it? Goodness!
Actually, some things in Downton Abbey are very funny, very very funny. But I see. Like, I don't like. I shouldn't say. I haven't watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I haven't seen Master of None. But generally, the old sitcom one too, like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and like I just don't seem to have the interest. You know, I watched Friends when it was on TV. I enjoyed it. It was in syndication when I was in university. So it was like 6 o'clock every night, right around dinner time. My roommate and I would sit down and watch, you know, a couple of back-to-back episodes of Friends. And they were playing them in sequence. So, you know, you get the whole story and stuff like that. It was fine. It was fun. Like, I enjoyed it. Because I remember seeing most of them when they were on TV, but then really watching them in university. But I've got other friends now that'll throw it on Netflix, you know, if I'm over at their place. And it's like, I don't care. Like, I really don't. It's not something I have to, I don't, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't crave, sitcom.
It's hard to crave a comedy, you know, for me too.
And the other thing that's like, there seems to be two standards. Now, again, I need to take some time and try things like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. But there seems to be either the How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory kind of way, or there's the, Arrested Development approach. And I don't like either. So
you mean like the one camera versus the multi-camera format?
I mean like,
or
I
live
mean like
studio
the,
audience
the,
or the
awkward kind of like this is supposed to be funny because we're standing and staring at each other and nothing's really happening and I'm just being Like I have
now. Is that Big Bang Theory? Because if
no,
you say
that's Arrested Development.
I'm going to push back on that because Arrested Development to me has every layer of comedy you could want. It has some the David Cross stuff, which is very screwball, very stupid funny. Then you have like subtle double entendre comedy. You have like I don't know. Like I'm a very very big believer in the just sheer amount of brain space Mitch Horowitz has to go through to make stuff that like is very subtle come back and pay off in an incredibly great way. Like the original Office, like that sort of stuff, or British comedies in general are definitely the cringeworthy comedies that I don't watch. Like I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But I think Arrested Development is a different sort of beast altogether.
See, like with Arrested Development, and then there was another one with the same guy, Will, what's his name?
Oh, Will Arnett.
Is it Will Arnett? Yeah. So Will Arnett is in one where he plays an alcoholic trying to help people.
Oh, Flaked?
Yeah, or something like that.
I didn't watch that. That looked dumb as hell.
It was dumb. It was really dumb. But to me, I watched it and I was like, oh, this is just as dumb as Arrested Development. Because Arrested Development to me, just I felt the show felt constipated the whole time I was watching it. Like it just the whole time just feels like, and there's no joke, and I just. It's not me. Now, I appreciate that I realize there's lots of people out there that just swear by it. And it's like, nope, I just don't care. And it could be just my brand of humor, right? Like, it could be like, you know, I found most of Community very funny. But after a while, I started to glaze over. And I found early seasons of Community way better than later.
The problem I had with Community, because I had huge people just screaming to the walls and ceiling about Community to me, is that it was like, and see, what's funny is Community is a big collection of very oddball characters who can all at any point be A, B, and C plots. Mm-hmm. And the whole episode can take a certain frame around it, just like Arrested Development is. But the problem to me with Community is like it literally felt like, and I know, and I'm pretty sure it probably happened, Dan Harmon, because he's the mind behind it, who has also worked on Rick and Morty and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I really felt like the writers in that room sat down, drank 5 Mountain Dews, a Red Bull, and did 5 lines of Coke, and then just were like, David Budde, Donald Glover, Joe McHale, just start talking, just talk endlessly. And then, like, you get Dr. Ken, I forget his name. I mean, just like... The thing was, the only person in that cast that felt like a different energy to me was Chevy Chase, and it was a bad energy. It felt like he was judging everything that was happening.
Yeah.
Like, every single other person was the exact same energy, but, like, in a different – like, and so the thing is, and I like, Arrested Development, and this is – well, it just became pretty much, like, them versus each other, but it's not – but the thing about Arrested Development that's interesting to me is every single character has a different style of presenting their humor. Like I said, David Cross is almost always going to be very uncomfortable. Like, I don't even love storylines about his character or certain characters on the show. But, like, there's certain TV shows where, like, Parks and Rec is a perfect example for me, where there are main people in the ensemble that if I know they're going to be focused on, I'm not going to love it. But there are certain characters in the show that you will watch just, you know, you'll just watch Parks and Rec possibly for Leslie Knope, Ron Swanson, maybe even Aubrey Plaza, Chris Pratt, those types of people. And that's what really solid ensemble shows are able to do, is you can kind of gravitate to those types of people. But that's so weird. It's so strange to me. And I understand it probably, I feel like at this point too, because of how people react to Arrested Development doesn't make you want to watch it, which is always tough because I get the same thing when I talk about something, stuff like Community or whatever, or Sopranos. Like I have no interest ever in watching Sopranos, but every time I mention that, people are like trying to like badger me into believing I should watch it. And I'm like, look, I only saw The Godfather probably within the last 9 years. And even then I was like, okay, it's a movie. Like, it's not the greatest film of all time. Probably not even in my top 50. Yeah. And right now there are at least probably like 5 billion people out there who want to murder me because I'm going to say it's in the top 50 films.
Well, you know? I can say I tried to watch Arrested Development and get, several episodes and just is like, you know what? This just is not my thing. It was not pulling me away.
You watched the first season too, right? You didn't start with the Netflix version, right?
Both. I went back. Like I started with Netflix and then I went back. But either way, it's just, all of it was just like, nope, none of it is anything I was interested in. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing with The American Office. Like, I feel like I've watched one episode of that and I've seen them all. Like, I really have zero interest. But I have watched the first season of Sopranos. I didn't keep up with it because I think it was a month-long trial of a streaming service. I don't remember what it was, Show Me or something. But it gave me access to a bunch of different things I didn't have before, like Sopranos, Justified. There was a bunch of things that I would have to find other ways. So I thought, sweet, you know, like I have access. It's not, you know, I'm not breaking any rules. I can just go and watch this and it's all right there. I don't have to download the next episode and wait and figure out where I am. Like I can actually just go watch it. And I watched it and I liked it and I can appreciate why people really liked it. But I had no qualms about walking away from The Sopranos. It really is just the same. It's the same stress, that whole show. Like Tony Soprano is just a stressed out guy all the time. And it's just varying degrees of who's pissing him off and why. And there's no, like, it's all just like, yeah, so bad stuff has happened to you because you're a criminal. There's a way to fix it, but you're not going to do it. So, like, it wasn't, I don't know why. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have a feeling why it was so compelling because I think it was one of the first shows of its kind that really pushed that realm.
Absolutely,
because it's pre-Breaking Bad, like it's pre-Game of Thrones, like
pre-Mad Men.
Exactly, right? Now see, now Mad Men, loved it. I there's a couple seasons that are weaker, but I really enjoy Mad Men, and that's something that
it started strong and then it ended very badly.
Here's the thing, shows like that, and I think that I tip my hat to anybody that can put together a TV series and be out in three seasons. Because it's hard to do because you're walking away from money, you're walking away from potential, you know, longevity and success and all this kind of stuff. But
syndication,
man,
right?
Are the shows better because of it? Because these things that go seven seasons, ultimately around season five, there's just been so much changed. Your characters stop going on arcs and they start going on loops because they're circling around on themselves and it just becomes messy and you start looking at characters like, why are you making that decision? That doesn't make any sense. But it's because it's serving the script to move things forward, not because it makes sense for the character. And I find that true of things that go long-term. Smallville was like that. It was, you know, just things that just, you know, Arrow is like that because it's been on for like six seasons now.
Nice.
Yeah. Is it five?
But it got renewed.
I haven't seen that show in a year and a half. You know, like just, it's things like that that I've just, you know, I find, are hard to deal with shows that are longer. But then you get like, now sometimes it gets canceled. But like, what's that one from HBO that was all the Western and the swearing?
Westworld?
No. That was a good show.
Oh, Deadwood.
Deadwood. Yeah. Like loved it.
Got canceled after 13. Yeah. Season two was a mess though. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even get to season three picked it back up and I liked it. But that was another one. We didn't finish it. We literally stopped in the third season in the legendary street fight.
Right.
If you've seen Deadwood, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. If you haven't seen Deadwood, when you get to it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like that moment like blew Laura so far away. And this was before she started to watch like Game of Thrones and stuff. Like she was like, nope. And then we just never got back to it. But that was a shame because that was a really great cast, some really good work in there. Yeah. But man, it's only three seasons. And that second season sucks. I think that second season sucks.
Yeah, but the first season was good. And
oh, it's great.
Justified was the same way. Justified could have been four seasons and it was five or six.
Wasn't it six or seven?
It was something like that. Again, it's the same problem. It's just like, you know, it could have been a nice, neat little package. And man, like a badass package from start to end, right? Because there was enough depth in that show that they could have done it. But like, then it's based on books. And then the author of those books passes away. So they want to do a tribute season. And like, just I don't know. I'm you know, speculating. But it felt long in the tooth and you get mad because like, no, I really like these characters and I don't want to see them watered down by too many seasons. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, here I say this and like, have I ever made a TV show? Nope. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Not as a creator. I've certainly helped make TV shows, but they're cartoons. It's not. Yeah. I've not helmed the writing of a series at all. You know, it's like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of speaking under my ass at that point. But
absolutely.
Yeah. So speaking of all this content and all these things that are flying our way, is there anything that you're looking forward to that's coming up this season? Because I mean, we had a big spoiler show last week on Guardians of the Galaxy after the credits. Me and Lou went into the Guardians, but that was like the first of the big summer blockbusters that are coming. Is there anything that's on your list?
Okay, so I just want I've now found a new dynamic in our relationship, and that is and I did it for these little seven little movies thing, but I almost want to apply it to everything in life we've seen because apparently if you and I were on if we had our own show called Pass or Play, like friggin' we would go throat to throat on friggin' Arrested Development and apparently what was that other thing the American Office, but there's something that you were like you liked and I was like what, this is terrible. Downton Abbey, which is fine, but like after one season I was like, all right, I get it, either put him in prison or don't, and either you guys sell the friggin' Abbey or don't, but just effing stop damn well talking about it, and if anything all your series is you guys literally talking about talking. Like I get it, you're British, you don't make a lot of big, nobody's gonna walk in and blow somebody's brains out, but when there's one random huge crime that happens or some strange death, all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, so crazy. It's like bullshit, every other episode of Game of Thrones main characters getting their head lobbed off and you're acting like such and such dying and like some completely normal everyday scenario is mind-blowing. No, you're sucked into the world and it was drab and boring and then something big happened and all of a sudden it blew your mind. So I would love, I gotta find a way that every episode from now on when I'm on, I can find something that we either conflict on. Or were you a thumbs up, thumbs down on Guardians 2? It seemed like from what you were saying, you were going to be thumbs down.
I was thumbs in the middle. It's one of those things where you like the movie for all the wrong reasons. Because when you back up and take a look at it as a film, as a story, it's got everything from story and script problems to pacing problems. But if you rip out things like Rocket and Baby Groot and Quill and Gamora, like it's all fine.
Pieces, yeah.
It's just that the pieces of the puzzle, it's almost like it's like watching the analogy that I made last week on the show, which I unfortunately just posted like yesterday because it took me forever to edit it, because it's like an hour and 40 minutes. It's like watching your best friend who's a great actor in a bad play.
Interesting,
right? Because you're rooting, and everything that he says, you're like, yes, that's awesome. Like it's funny and it's on point, and it's like, and you look at but you're like, but I don't care about these other seven people on stage, you know? And,
yeah,
and that's the way that Guardians is. It's that it's got that kind of pulling back and forth. I guess I should you know, heads up, people. not a spoiler, but it wasn't Civil War. Like it wasn't my favorite.
It wasn't his favorite. I liked it. Yeah. Everybody else, I thought it was as fun. I will say that I'm getting to a point in my life where I need to remember this. I don't apply it to television, apparently, because you have more time, quote unquote, in planning. But when it comes to movies, more and more, I'm like, look, either it was fun and I enjoyed myself, or it wasn't. And it was fun and I enjoyed myself. Unfortunately, sometimes when I look back on certain movies like Passengers, another Chris Pratt film, I enjoyed that movie while I was watching it, mostly for Jennifer Lawrence. But also just in general, once I looked back on it, I was like, what a whole pile of plot problems and errors. Yeah. But it looked good. Yeah. I mean, everything on screen looks great. Even Chris Pratt was like, way to go, buddy. So like, I just, you know, that, I mean, like for me, yeah, I'm getting to a point now where, and that's what's going to be funny. I'll let you finish your thought, but when we move on to this pass or play segment, it's going to be a lot, I think, of what you do or do not think looks fun.
Mm. And I think that's, I mean, it's a good point. And something I did say is that Guardians is a good ride. It's fun. It's definitely worth seeing in theater. And this is all spoiler free, but the thing that I have to remind myself when I start analyzing films like that, or realizing that it was just, man, it was really convoluted, was that you're talking about a film with a talking raccoon, a baby tree, and only two characters have human-colored skin. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is blue, green, purple, metal, or something else.
Like, absolutely. You
know? So you kind of have to go in there with a really open mind. You know, it's, you know, as crazy as the Avengers is with the Hulk and Thor and all this kind of stuff, that's still kind of very much based on a futuristic reality, though. It's like aliens invading the planet. How do we all react? Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. mobilizes and Captain America does his thing, and like that's what happens. So sure, everybody, that makes sense. But like, when you got bad guys like you do in Guardians, and I won't get into it, but like when you get it, that kind of the thing, like you kind of have to get esoteric about the whole thing, right? You know, because we're getting in there with, you know, Thanos and all this kind of stuff coming with Infinity War. Like, this is interdimensional planetary beings that have godlike powers. Like, there's just, there's all this kind of stuff that's going to come into play in the Marvel Universe in the next few years that you really have to be prepared for, because it is not Peter Parker stopping bank robberies, you know?
Like, it's not grounded at all. Yeah,
exactly, right? So I'm trying to open my mind to that.
Yeah,
I think it could have been a little bit better. But let's go with this pass or play.
All right, pass
ID.
Or play. These are all films that are coming out, not necessarily this summer. So I just need you to say pass, as in I'm going to pass on it right now of this moment. Right. If somebody literally was like, you could see this for free, time's not an option, you have nothing on the horizon, you can sit down and see it.
Okay.
You're going to pass it, or you're going to hit play and you're going to watch it. We have Wonder Woman.
Absolutely play.
You're going to play. All right, I would agree, and I would say – it seems like they've gone to great labors right now in the trailers to show that this actually has humor in it. And I actually dig that, because damn, does DC need some humor.
And color.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It looks vibrant. All right. Pirates 5. I'm not going to say the stupid subtitle.
Nope. Not at all.
Pass. I agree. Pass. They're making that look way too much like a jokey. All right. Transformers 5.
Pass.
Pass. Agree. Blade Runner 2049.
Play. Not because I'm a giant fan of the original, because it was kind of a little early for me. I mean, I was born in 79 and it came out in 82. I have seen the original and I like it, but I'm not like a maniacal fan. But I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it. So I would go, and I like sci-fi, so I would go.
I would play. I think what I'm interested in, though, is the subtitle of 2049. Like, I don't, like, at this point, just like, don't even act like you need a date. Like, that's an odd thing.
Yeah. I mean, the movie is 35 years old, so just go ahead and call it Blade Runner.
Just call it Blade Runner again. Who cares? It?
No interest. Don't care.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to play just because I'll give Stephen King a chance. Also, I see very few Stephen King films.
Actually. Well, on a side note, I do want to go see Dark Tower.
Oh, absolutely. I just figured, I did not put on this list Spider-Man, Dark Tower, or Thor, which I all felt were just no-brainer.
Yeah, sure.
Valerian.
Nope.
In the City of the Billion Planets. It's such a weird one. I have no idea what's going on with that film, but maybe it'll be interesting to see on DVD someday.
I mean, it's one of those things that I might watch on Netflix, but like, I look at that and the main issue that I saw, because there's a huge trailer for it in front of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, there is.
I don't find either one of the main actors appealing at all.
Yeah, there is. Just like, it's weird.
It's like nails on a chalkboard, the two of them.
Dane DeHaan, and I don't even know the other actors necessarily. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, and then last but not least, Baywatch.
Pass. I'm a fan of The Rock and I enjoy his social media stuff, but it's not my kind of movie.
Oh man. See, I'm going to hit play in a big way. One, because I love The Rock. Two, my wife loves Zac Efron. And honestly, Zac Efron's really impressed me with his turn in The First Neighbors and some of the other stuff he's done. Like, I enjoy this man boy Ryan Reynolds vibe he's going for, which is I'm super hot, but I will play super. He actually plays more super dumb than super sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But I think that plays well off The Rock in the commercials. And I wasn't even a fan of the original TV show, but there's absolutely some beautiful women in. And
there's that. Yeah.
But I just think the idea of sometimes these are bad, but 21 Jump Street surprised me. So sometimes these TV comedy movie takes on them can be pretty good. So
that's another thing too. Like, if I ended up going to go see Baywatch for whatever reason, I would have very low expectations. Like, know what it's not pretending. See, this is the thing. It's not pretending to be something it's not.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about The Rock too.
Yeah. Whereas Pirates 5 like smacks so of trying hard. Too hard, right? But it has all
and
these
Transformers.
But, yeah, but it's like this. Yeah, and Transformers is like, I don't know. I don't even know why or how they let Michael Bay make another one.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't understand. I guess it's just because people in the States just keep on going to see them, you know, because it's not like they tank everywhere else. Like, I really have no idea. It's not my cup of tea. Eventually, I did watch the other Transformers, the fourth one, I think.
Oh, God, really?
Wait a minute. Okay. So the
Age of Extinction.
That's the fourth one?
Yeah, it's the
first. Oh, yeah, with the dinosaurs.
Yeah, the only one with friggin' Say Hi to Your Ma for me.
Mark Wahlberg, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, God, yeah. Miserable.
I actually
liked
the third one. And I think the third one with, because it's where, you know, I mean, it's several years old, but it's where he actually kills Megatron. There's a big battle. There's a really decent climax to that movie. Because the movie is, the third one is kind of like a straight line. It really
yeah,
is
the Chicago one?
Yeah, the Chicago one. I hated the second one, but the first one was what, the first one was good for what it was.
I liked the first one.
Yeah, but the third one was okay. But the fourth one was like, oh god, this is just. I mean, I watched it on Netflix because like, well, I forgot to plan what I was gonna watch with my pizza and beer. So this is gonna be explodey and cool. I'll watch that.
Work, yeah.
You know, so it's the same reason why I watched the Ninja Turtles movies, and you know, I didn't even finish the second one. I got halfway through. I was like, nope, I'm out. And that's I think several months ago now, I had Phil Rude on the show, and we did a list of stuff that we started watching. And stopped. And some of it was for just normal reasons, like life pulled you away and the show just wasn't compelling enough. It wasn't like it was bad. And then there's other times where just like, nope, I can't deal with the rest of this. And I feel like there's enough good acting happening in Baywatch that I would probably enjoy it, even if it wasn't like my favorite movie. The thing is, I've always been on a bit of a budget, so I don't tend to go and watch those kind of things in theaters just because, you know, it just becomes a little bit more expensive. Where something like Guardians, I won't miss in theater because, you know, it's the kind of thing that I really, really want to go see, even if it is, even if it did, which it didn't. If it did suck, I would not, I would not regret going to see it in theater because the off chance that it's amazing. And if you miss it in theaters just because you think it's going to be poo, then you're like, you've missed a really cool opportunity. But
agreed, yeah.
But speaking about all these things that are coming out, that leads me right into our Internet Minute, which is brought to you by you, dear listener. If you head over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, then you will see a way to support us directly, the show. I use the money for new audio equipment and keeping the website up and going and registering domain names and all that kind of stuff. We also have a Slack channel going, and that it's free for the most part, but there are some archives and things on there that are nice to have, so it goes there as well. So if you like the Citadel Cafe and you'd like to throw us a little bit of change, then go over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe and sign up to be a patron. It's completely up to you. A lot of people tend to do $1 a month, which is 25 cents a show. Don't know what you can get for 25 cents these days, but it's not a whole lot because I haven't seen a payphone in forever. So yeah, check it out, patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. So my pick this week is the Orville trailer. Have you seen this?
Yes, I watched it before the show.
As far as comedies go, this is something that I'm actually interested in, mostly because I'm a sci-fi Star Trek fan, and I'm sure a lot of the humor, knowing how big a Seth MacFarlane, or how big a Trek fan Seth MacFarlane is, I get the feeling that there's going to be the funny jokes in the trailer that everybody gets and everybody laughs at. And then there's going to be a lot of other stuff that only the Trek nerds are going to laugh at. And I feel like it's going to be a pretty well-rounded film. It's the kind of thing I would want to go see with my dad. And I'm interested in that way. It sort of reminds me of Galaxy Quest.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I don't know. It seems like it's well put together. And it's one of those things where like I would go see that before I would go see Baywatch.
Oh, interesting. It's a TV show, though. You know this, right?
I thought it was I thought it looked like a TV show. I thought it was a movie.
It is a TV show. No, it's a weekly TV. That's why I was like, well, he's going to go see this in theaters. Like, he would pay money to see a TV show. Yeah, it's going to be on Fox. That's why I am not necessarily in favor of it, because high concept comedies, and Fox is also pushing this one called Ghosted, which is like Craig Robinson and Adam Scott, like basically are paranormal, like, detectives.
Well, they fooled me.
I'm just telling you, like, these trailers for these high concept TV shows, are like really great, but then when you think of a high concept comedy, when's the last one that was even good? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm super nervous. If they said this was going to go for like 6 episodes a season, thumbs up. But I seriously doubt it. And I think it'll probably get canceled after about 4. But yeah, I think it's interesting. It's very funny trailer. But again, it's like one of these things where you're just like, really? I mean, like, and you're going to put this on network television? Like, Glee was like a huge hit, but it should not have been. Like, mm-hmm. if you think about that high concept, like, it got thin quickly, as fast mm-hmm. as the second season, if not halfway through the first. So
I thought a couple of shots in this trailer, I was like, wow, that looks really kind of low budget for a film. But whatever, like, it felt like a mm-hmm. set, like a small set, right? But it's funny because they don't mention it all in the trailer ever that it's a TV show.
Yeah, they don't say this fall on Fox or anything.
I just saw the Fox logo and I didn't think anything of it. And and even when they talk about the big names, like, you know, Jon Favreau, and like they just they mention the movies that he's done, not the TV that he's done.
Nope.
You know, like, it's just, yeah, I don't know, it's misleading. I mean, either way, fun. I mean, I would even definitely watch it on TV. Like, sure, I'll sign up to check that out. But it's the kind of thing that has that kind of expectations. Like, I kind of walk into it like I'm walking into the Muppets, right? You're expecting it to be kind of like really knock your socks off, and may or may not, you know?
Yeah, sure. I think I'm gonna pass. If it makes a full season and it's on Netflix later and people are talking about it, I'll see it. But
yeah. So what's this Ghosted thing that you're talking about?
Ghosted is just it literally played after the trailer for The Orville. It's just another Fox TV show, and it's like Adam Scott from Parks and Rec and other various things you may have seen, and Craig Robinson from The American Office and Hot Tub Time Machine and whatnot. And they're both just basically plucked out of normal life to help figure out paranormal stuff like ghosts and aliens and things. Like, the trailer is very ambiguous as to what they're doing. But again, I was like, Ghosted. Oh, they're going to be like a weird ghost busting group. But it's just odd. The trailer for it's funny. But again, it's like, how far is that concept going to go? And I think a sci-fi traveling show comedy is going to last longer than a paranormal anything, because paranormal stuff, even dramas, don't last that long. I mean, like, well, Ghost Whisperer,
except for what's that other one,
except for Supernatural,
which has been Jesus, on for
it's
ages.
On like 12, yeah, it's like on 12 at this point. Are they God? Like, did they like eat up God and the devil already, for God's sake?
I mean, and quickly before we get out of here too, I know that there's, I'm on the YouTube page for Ghosted, and there's a trailer for X-Men Gifted.
Yeah, I almost watched that next too. Yeah, I was gonna watch all of them. I was like, Fox is getting me to watch all their stupid trailers, but I don't know.
Yeah,
Legion was amazing, but it was on FX. It wasn't on network television.
Right. Now, I was gonna ask you about one more thing. Oh, Twin Peaks. Were you a fan?
Never watched any of the originals, so I have. I don't know. You know what? I might try and visit some of it for a future pass or play segment between us. And if you love it, then we can argue about how it's horrible.
I tried to watch the first season, but I got like one episode in. I was like, this is really weird. And I just didn't know what to think. Like, it was, I can't remember who I was watching it with, but it was just like kind of thinking about it going like, I don't know what to say. I think I'm still processing. Like, you know, like,
absolutely. That seems to be the gist of what I've heard about it. So yeah. Some people are fervent about it, you know. There are
some fans out there. Some of the big podcasters I know are doing like lead up shows to Twin Peaks, watching the old Twin Peaks. Like, oh my gosh! I think it's one of those things that I think just missed my radar. I might have been just a little bit too young for it. Because the people that I know that are really excited about it are 5 years older than me, give or take. So like, I would have been in grade school, they would have been in high school, like that kind of a gap where like I wouldn't have been watching that kind of thing because I probably wasn't allowed to stay up that late, you know, like stuff like that.
All of mine are like bloggers and people who critique movies, TV shows, and music for online articles are the people who are excited about it. And I'm like, these are the same people who I love a lot of them dearly, but a lot of times they'll just tell me how blah, blah, blah is not good, and or like how the entire Marvel MCU is like really stupid, and instead we should all be watching like blah, 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 auteur's film. I'm like, that's great. But at the same time, I can still have fun. I don't just have to watch a movie about how life has great deep meaning in a coal mine. Like,
yeah, exactly.
For F's sake, like, who, you know,
hey,
whatever.
I watched Battleship and I liked it. So take that. Take that.
Oh, God, guys.
Yeah, I know. On that note, that's the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record usually live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com. Could not get the live stream up going this week. Sorry about that, folks. But hopefully that just means that it's going to be out there all that much faster. I will look into fixing that next week. Our mobile audio stream is provided by Alpha Geek Radio when it is up, and the music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. And once again, please let me know what you thought of Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm seeing a divide across many friends, and I'm very curious to hear what the listeners think. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. We don't have an Instagram. I think we're on Tumblr. There's all kinds of places. Just look us up on iTunes by name, The Citadel Cafe. It's pretty easy to find. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I'm up to on joelduggan.com. And hey, while you're out looking for things that I'm doing, check out forgepublishing.com. 3 or 4 days ago, we launched pre-orders for Daily Paintings, the first book coming out from Piper Thibodeau. It's 156 pages of beautiful art from a very talented young artist out of Montreal, and you can buy it or pre-order it. We are weeks away from having it available. We're just kind of ironing out some final details on the print run and shipping and stuff like that. Not shipping to you, but like freight from printer to distributor, kind of nailing those things down. But it's available for pre-order, and there's some really cool free stuff in the pre-order pack. So head over to forgepublishing.com and check that out. Brockett, where can people find you online?
Oh, God, I don't know. Google me. I'm sure there's some scary stuff out there. Just check it out.
That's a brave thing to suggest, sir.
Just try it. Sometimes I do a podcast, Biggest Fan Podcast. That's it. That's all I got for it.
Well, you'll find Brockett when he's back on next month with probably 7 more films that we're going to love or hate.
Yeah, that'd be great. Or TV shows that you should love, but you hate. It'd
or
be
TV
great.
Or films that I think are TV shows or vice versa.
Yeah, maybe.
You're like, God. I'm like, yeah, I love that movie. You're like, Joel, that was a television show.
That was a television show. You mean Serenity? Well, that was a TV show first. And okay, I can see how you're confused. Hold on 1 second. Let me write this down.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, but we're fast, we're easy, we're cheap. You can only pick season 2. I don't know. Stick around.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.